from stpetecatalyst.com.
Welcome to Political Party with Adam Smith. I am very honored to have State Representative Michelle Rayner on the show, Democrat from St. Petersburg. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored. Legendary. So you are. So this is great.
We were just saying, I'm a really big deal. You are the big deal. So let's just cut to the chase. Are you going to run for Congress like everybody's talking about?
Wow, Adam, so you're just literally not going to ease me into this.
Go right in.
Well, I will tell you that I'm seriously considering it. I have been talking to folks, not only in the community, but nationally as well. As you know, I was born and raised in Clearwater. And I have family ties here in St. Petersburg. My grandfather established one of the first Black churches in Largo. I'm a Pinellas girl through and through. And really, my consideration is, Adam, where I can do the most good. And that's really the conversations I've been having, the thought process that I've been making, where I can do the most good. Can I do the most good in the Florida House, or can I do the most good in Congress? So I think a decision will be forthcoming, but I want to make sure that I am dotting my I's and I'm crossing my T's.
Well, I seem to do a lot of sucking up to guests on this show. And I'll do that here, because I'll say to some of the people out there that don't know Michelle Rayner, and this is true, she's a very accomplished civil rights lawyer, works with the great Ben Crump, but also just politically, you won a very tough, very crowded primary to succeed Wenge Newton in the House seat. And there's a buzz around you, a little charisma or energy or something. People see great things in your future.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, I will tell anyone, like I tell him, I'm grateful that my name is even in the consideration for this seat. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. And I don't take that lightly, but I also don't take lightly that the people did elect me to serve House District 70. And so, this has kind of been a conversation that's been ongoing for the last 5 months. We've all knew that, Congressman Chris, who I have the utmost respect for, and who for me in my race, he endorsed me when he didn't have to. There was nothing politically for him to gain to do that. We knew that was on the horizon. And so I just right now, I am just doing all the things. I'm thinking and I am working, and we're going to see what happens.
Well, since I sucked up to you so much, I'll say that the thing that people are going to say or criticize or raise questions about is, here's Michelle Rayner. We worked our tail off to get her elected, and the paint is barely dry on her new legislative office, and now she's running for Congress, that you just got there. It's too soon to be looking for the next step.
Right. And I'm aware that that's definitely a criticism that I may get. I will tell you that, any office, whether it's state representative, whether it's city council, whether it's Congress, it's not a lifetime achievement award. It's about the work in the moment that we're in now. And I think the moment that we're in now, across our state and across our nation, calls for bold leadership, calls for putting people over politics. And so for me, my decision isn't about ego or isn't about vanity, because if it was, I would have already jumped in, right? I'd have been like, well, there's a buzz and people think I should run. It's not about that. It's about literally what is the best good and the most good I can do. And so those are the conversations that I've been having. But I think that as a freshman legislator, I've done pretty okay. And especially kind of dealing with what we've been dealing with in the Florida House.
I wanted to get to the legislative stuff, but I do want to ask, we've got Eric Lynn and Ben Diamond, State Representative Ben Diamond. What do you think of the current field, and what would you bring that they don't?
I have great respect for Ben Diamond. He is a friend of mine, and I've met Eric Lynn a couple of times. I think that, one, I have a lived experience of being a woman, and a woman has never represented this district. I'm a Black person, person of color has never represented this district. And I think that the work that I've done, not only as an attorney, as a litigator, but also as a civil rights attorney, but now in the legislature, I think that really with the current course that we're in, I think that I would bring just a different perspective on that, be able to show that I can work across the aisle as well. I also think that we have to be very, we have to think very long and hard about, you know, if this district is drawn a certain way and you have a Republican like Ana Paulina Luna, who's already declared who is best suited to protect the seat, right? We know that this is a targeted seat, such as Stephanie Murphy's seat in Orlando is a targeted seat. So those are things that if I decide to run, those are, I would think that I would be best similarly situated, A, to protect the seat, B, to put the business of the people over politics, even even over my political party, and really be able to draw on my lived experiences and represent this district if that's what I choose to do.
And what, real quick, what's the timing?
What's oh, Adam Smith, what's the timing? Well, I will tell you that a decision is forthcoming. So that's all I can say. A decision is forthcoming. Oh, Adam.
Well, Eric Lynn said the other day he's already raised $100,000 in the first 4 minutes of his game of entering the race or something.
Not 4 minutes. I'm not going to do this with you. I mean, and that's great that if he's able to do that. I mean, I think the people would like to see some receipts on that, you know, make sure that's not from a pack that he's had. But and that's wonderful that if he's able to do that. Let me tell you this, and I think that anyone who knows me well enough to know that if I make the decision to run in this race, that I'm not making that decision lightly, and I'm making decision because I know there's a path there, not only to victory, but a path to raise the money that needs to be raised. Because I think with someone like me, this race now becomes a national race. It doesn't just become, okay, this is what's happening in CD13. This becomes a race where there's national attention. So I know that if I decide to do that, it's very deliberate. It's very thought out. It's not a rash decision that I will have made.
I'm curious, what did you sort of, your first experience in Tallahassee, what surprised you? What did you learn? How did you like it?
So, you know, I have been on the side in the Senate as an aide. And, you know, I always share with people, it's very different when you're the member, right? When you are the member, you have to press that red or green button.
Whose aide were you? I didn't know.
I was the great legendary Senator Arthenia Joyner's aide.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So, but you knew what you were doing when you got up there.
Yeah, I did. And I was trained by the best. And it was so interesting. Representative who was the aide to Representative Geraldine Thompson and Senator Bracey, he and I were talking. And he said, you know, people are like, oh, y'all have been mentored by them. And it wasn't that we were mentored by them. We worked for them. But now realizing working for these types of members who are so well respected in the process, that it really was an on-the-job mentorship. So, you know, I learned from Senator Joyner that, you know, you read your bills. And, you know, everyone's like, you read your bill. I mean, of course you do. No, you and I both know, Adam, there are people that go in there, don't read any bill. Shoot, they don't even read their own bills that they're presenting, right?
Maybe most.
Yeah, right. Right. And so understanding and having an understanding of the issues, and then also knowing if that's not my wheelhouse, if that's not something that I do, knowing when to insert myself, also relying on the area experts within my caucus and within our House staff, Democratic and the House administration staff. So it was different because this year we didn't have lobbyists crawling around. We didn't have a lot of reporters crawling around. So of course that was missing, but also you were able to get acclimated just to the process of working your bills in a way that wasn't, you know, full of people just always being around you. So you were able to learn a little bit more. But, you know, I missed that because I would have to go see friends, you know, outside and be like, hey, how are y'all? And so that was different because I also think that in the process, lobbyists, whether, you know, people have their opinions on them, many of them, especially the longtime lobbyists, that they are area experts, right? They know their stuff. And if you have a really good lobbyist, they're going to tell you the good side of a bill and they're going to tell you the bad side of a bill. And you're able to make your decision. And so that part was challenging. And also some of the legislation that came across our desk that we had to vote on was very challenging as well. We know House Bill 1, we know House Bill 1475, which is the anti-trans use bill. We know SB 90, which is the voting bill. There are some tax bills that were concerning. So I will be candid. I was a little frustrated that we didn't really focus on the work of the people. I think that people have been asking us to work on unemployment. We worked on the website. Okay, that's great. We're working on the website, but can we get people a little bit more relief? You know, there are some COVID bills that I was a little frustrated with because I thought that we could have really worked on making sure that working people and working families got some of the, and our small businesses got some of the relief they really needed. And I don't think that we really did that in a real meaningful way. But, and then the other part is, as a freshman, I passed legislation, two bills, and got appropriations. So it was a very, very dichotomous session, I would say.
You actually passed two bills that are pretty, like, they had tangible impact. One was the personal keratin. I'm actually familiar with both these subjects, but talk about the personal keratin, because I think that's a really, was a really good bill.
Well, thank you. So personal care attendance, this actually was in existence by executive order by the from the governor during the pandemic, because there is a shortage of CNAs throughout the state of Florida. So obviously, because of the pandemic, we needed to ensure that we were able to have folks that could fill these roles. And so CNA school can cost between $1,000 to $3,000. So what is there a way that we can ensure that people, A, are being trained, and being appropriately trained, but can start working and getting on the job training? And this is how the personal care assistant position came. And so myself and another colleague from Jacksonville area, he and I worked this bill. And I mean, when I say we worked this bill, that to make it an actual program. So essentially, there are now two tracks to become a CNA. You can do it through an apprenticeship, which is the bill that I passed, where you work as a PCA, you work for a certain amount of hours, you are shadowing a CNA and a registered nurse, and then you have within 4 months to take the test. And if you pass the test, you can work as a CNA. But all the time that you're a PCA, you're actually still getting paid. So you're actually still being an apprentice, but also still making money. And then you can take the more traditional classroom approach as well. And so, and you know, we closed a lot of loopholes with the PCA concern. There's no nursing home hopping. You can't just go, I couldn't pass here. So I'm going to go to another nursing home. You have one shot. And if you don't do it through the PCA, then you have to go through the traditional program. And, you know, I was very, you know, there's a lot of people have different opinions about that. But one of the things that when I got elected, especially in my district, folks wanted to make sure that I knew that people needed jobs. People need to work.
People needed jobs, and nursing homes need.
Correct. Correct. At the time we passed this bill on the floor of the House, in the Miami area alone on Indeed, there were 7,000 jobs. 7,000 job listings looking for a CNA.
Wow. So next week, speaking about doing the work of the people or something like that, next week you're going to go into the legislature leaders would not call a special session in the middle of a health crisis or in the middle of an unemployment system that's melted down and is a disgrace, but they will for a big gambling compact that's going to probably help some billionaires in the Seminole tribe. Are you, and full disclosure, I work with no casinos, so I'm not a fan of the compact, but where are you? You think it's a done deal?
So I am doing all of my due diligence and research. So I feel like I'm getting a crash course in gaming and casinos and all the things. I feel like that I am on briefing after briefing. I have a briefing at 3 o'clock about it. So I have not made up my mind where I'm at. I'm really right now, I will tell you my process with everything. I'm in the listening process. I'm in the listening phase. I see pros and cons on both sides. And so I have not really figured out where I'm at. I will tell you what I do foresee, especially within the GOP, the majority party, that there's going to be definitely a split probably between them, and that there's maybe a fight between them. So as a Democrat, I'm just going to stand back and watch that. But right now, I'm really in the fact-finding phase. So I think it wouldn't be responsible of me to kind of say where I fall in on that. But it's just, it's a lot to to get up to speed. And I've been literally, since the speaker told us that we're going to have a special session, we got out of session April 30th, took a couple of days, and I've just been really researching, reading, because I want to make the most informed decision I can, especially.
Do you gamble? Do you ever play poker or slots or anything?
No, I don't really do that. I mean, the most I do is lottery, I guess. Like, I don't really do that. That's not really my thing. I mean, I don't really, if I go to the casino, the Hard Rock, it's to go eat at Council Oaks. That's not really my thing. I'm not a Las Vegas fan. There are people like, let's go to Las Vegas. I'm like, for what? Like, is there water over there? So that's not my thing. So I know that people have, but I don't have a judgment about it. I just don't do it, but I knew people have very, very strong opinions about it.
Okay, where are you on St. Pete's mayor's race?
Yeah, I know, and I'm helping.
I'm conflicted too often, but I'm helping Ken Welch, just to be full disclosure.
Well, I love Ken Welch. He is a longtime friend, a longtime family friend. I believe my mom went to school with one of his elder brothers. You know, I think that we're in a great position in St. Pete, that we have some really good candidates that are running, and that's a wonderful thing. I think that we are in a position, and I think we're really situated in the city to make sure that we have really bold leadership, that we're putting the people of St. Pete first. And I think that with the trend of folks that are getting elected throughout our city and our county, we're seeing people putting, you know, electeds putting the people first and not the politics or not the special interests. And I think that whoever is elected really needs to be able to strike a bold new vision for our city, to really take our city to where it needs to be. I think that we're in a good space now, but there's so much more we can do. And so I don't know where to fall at on that.
That is a very boring answer, Representative. I'm sorry.
Because you wanted the information. You wanted the tea.
I know. And I knew you
wanted
wouldn't
the tea. But no, I mean, it's a boring answer, but it's how I really feel, because we are really lucky to be in the position that we're in. You know, we are really lucky that it has not gotten to be very nasty and all of the things that we both know that it could be. And
yeah,
so
I wonder if Wenge Newton, who's running for mayor, and you succeeded him, if you run for Congress, he could well jump back into your and run for his old seat again.
That's a possibility. Anything's possible.
People seem to think that Ron DeSantis is a virtual shoo-in. Do you think you're with Charlie, right?
So I am. I have not, you know, I love Charlie. I have not weighed in on that. You know, I'm kind of waiting to see what happens. You know, Charlie Crist has a special place in my heart. I'm friends with Nikki Fried. I'm also trying to see what Val Demings is doing. But once again, to go back to that, I think that we are really lucky in the field that we're in, that we have some really good candidates. I think that Charlie has that Joe Biden effect, but also with Val, you know, she is a former law enforcement officer. She's former chief of police. So you can't really make the arguments of anti-law and order. You can't make the arguments of she's a socialist. You can't really do those arguments. And then Charlie being a former Republican, it's kind of like the same thing. I think that Nikki she's wonderful. She's a friend of mine. So I am kind of waiting and watching to see what happens and who gets in and what this looks like. I will say I've been very impressed with Charlie. I'm always impressed with him. But I mean,
how hard do you think it's going to be to beat DeSantis?
It's going to be hard. I mean, he just raised $13 million in his PAC, I think, in February. It's not. I think that if we think that it's not going to be hard, we are kidding ourselves and putting ourselves in a really bad situation. I mean, a lot of these bills that were passed in this session, it was for him and red meat for his base. He is incredibly popular with his base. And I think that, you know, while he did not win by a huge margin the first time, I think that we have to outwork him and outwork the GOP as Democrats. I think that when we have these bills, like these voter suppression bills, there's a reason that these voter suppression bills are happening. We all know that this was the most safest, secure election we've ever had. That's what the man said. That's what the governor said. So why are you doing this if this is the safest, most secure election? Because sometimes they believe, and I feel like your actions tell me this, you have to play dirty in order to win. So I think that we cannot kid ourselves and think that this is going to be a cakewalk and be get caught up in the Democratic Twitter and say, oh yeah, he's so bad. That's what the Democrats are saying, but is that what the MPAs are saying? And it's most certainly, is that what his base is saying?
They're certainly not saying that.
Correct.
All right, Representative, I appreciate it. So you're going to announce for Congress in within the next 3 days?
Oh, I love this question. No, I'm not, but a decision is forthcoming.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
From stpcatalyst.com.